welcome to the show. This is the Cult of Conspiracy, and my name's Jonathan.
Jacob.
And today we have on Mark Malone. I mean, this dude is just an absolute animal amongst men. Mark, welcome to the show, sir.
Appreciate it, chaps. How's it going?
Oh, great, dream, man. Great. I've been looking forward to the show for a while now, and we're just very pleased and, you know, just overly excited to even talk to you. So thank you for coming on.
Awesome. If you've all got our vapes, we're all vaping straight off the bat.
It'd be like vaping. It do.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know, you know, the long-term effects of vaping, but I tell you what, dude, I feel way better vaping than I ever did smoking cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Not good for you.
Yeah. I pretty much started smoking at 16, so, you know, this is a good little choice.
I still do both because I like the combination. Variety is the spice of life.
You know, it is.
So,
some people are, you know, they don't like the taste of it, the smell of it and all that stuff. I still get down with it every so often, but vaping, you know, it tastes better. You know, it doesn't leave a lingering thing. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Let's hear about you, Mark. What are you up to lately, sir, with everything that you've been doing in life?
Yeah, well, I sort of started this Project America 21 back in June of last year. You know, so I guess what we should probably do is go back to the March 2020 psyop of COVID-19.
Sure.
And, you know, of course, when the whole operation began, I did a data model because I've worked in data science and I've worked in academia before. I actually have been studying philosophy of science at Oxford. So basically what philosophy of science does is looks at the methods that underpin science. So, when someone say, hey, I've got an injection and it's 95% effective, they're using a type of knowledge called empiricism, and they're using often a type of science, which is induction or falsification. So what I would do as a philosopher of science is I would look at what the methods are that underpin the science. So I would say, okay, so you say you have this thing that's effective, but let's look at the selection process. Like, where did you select the people from? Do they have comorbidities, right? Like, did you select 10,000 healthy people? Did you select 10,000 unhealthy people? Because these things are really important because that determines how something is effective, right? Like if you're taking 10,000 healthy people and saying this jab works, well, yeah, they're healthy.
Right.
So it works.
But if 10,000 was like 5,000 diabetics, was 2,000 asthmatic.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. 100%. So because science has become, of course, an institution as opposed to a method, it's supposed to be a method, not an institution. It's just supposed to be a process.
Yep.
It's become an institution, it's become the priests of the 21st century, or really the 20th century into the 21st century. So what I try to do is I look up and I see what's underneath it. Is this actually true? Is it actually valuable? Are they really doing science? And in this case, they weren't. So in March 2020, I have it pinned on my TikTok. I did my own data model, which turned out to be exactly true to what we have seen happen with COVID. So I realized right off the bat, this is total bullshit. Now I've been doing, I kind of woke up in terms of conspiracy back in 2010. So, you know, I knew about this New World Order stuff a long time ago. Right. And I had my spiritual awakening in 2012. So, because as you guys will know, usually what happens is you learn about what's happening. You learn about the evil. And then when you learn about the evil, you then go, well, if there's evil, then there must be good, right? If there's a dark force, there must be a good force. So you tend to go on that spiritual journey at the same time.
Sure.
So I guess in 2020, when this stuff happened, I already had a body of knowledge to understand the New World Order. And then I started seeing it playing out, everything you'd expect, everything people like us, the supposed tinfoil hat people, were telling them was going to happen. Oh, they're going to do vaccine passports. They're not going to just lock down for 2 weeks. But then what I've tried to do, which I think is different to what a lot of our compatriots do, is what do we actually do with this knowledge? This is the critical thing that we've really in our world has been missing, because our world is like a niche, like a dissident niche. But there is a real world that we operate in, politics, academia, law, pick it, healthcare, whatever. So what I was trying to do is like, how can we take this knowledge, at least the core of it? You can't exactly go to congressman and start talking about the ritual abuse of Kathy O'Brien in the 1990s. But what you can do is you can take that knowledge and you can go, there is actually a global governance agenda, and you can provide the United Nations treaties, and you can provide the World Economic Forum literature and whatever. So I figured that was, it was time now that they had come out into the open in 2020, that they've come out, they'd showed themselves. They're like, right, we're going for the jugular. This is no longer a covert plan. This is an overt plan. And that year, everything started to change, of course. So I figured we have to keep up with that. We can no longer just spread information. We actually have to be active, right? We have to action changes. So Gridded America 21, which is essentially America for the 21st century. It is the opposite of Agenda 21, which is the globalist agenda for the 21st century. So in this sense, created an organization where we are to remove ourselves from global governance. We're basically withdrawing from globalism entirely. And we can talk about this, you know, throughout the interview and throughout the conversation, but needless to say, what we're going to be doing is chopping some of the treaties. And then we're also going to be ending the social credit system. That's going to be the first thing. I'm working with a state senator right now to ban the social credit system. So this is really, really important for us, because if we can ban the social credit system, that's halfway already to defeating the entire thing itself, because the whole thing rests upon the social credit system.
When you say social credit system, can you give a little more layman's terms as to what that might mean for somebody who has no clue?
Yeah, so it's ESG, environmental social governance. So this is essentially a United Nations framework.
Okay.
And it sits underneath sustainable development, sustainability. We can talk a lot about that because that's actually the crux of it. So basically, imagine BlackRock. BlackRock do this. And of course, they're like the largest investment firm in the world, right? So the way that it tends to work is you have a business. Let's say you're in a major city. You're in Chicago and you want to get investment. Well, BlackRock are going to be the people that tend to be in all the shareholders. So it doesn't matter which bank or corporation you work for. Many of those shareholders will be owned by BlackRock or an operation with. So essentially, you're kind of always going through BlackRock or Vanguard in this case.
I was about to say, I just posted some on our Facebook about how BlackRock or Vanguard are the two main shareholders to every main company, period, the end.
Yeah,
right. I shared that last night.
BlackRock is the same people that are going around like why people are putting their houses up for sale and then they're being sold the next day, because BlackRock, they see the list price and they're paying like 20% above list price because they're trying to fucking own everything. So that way they can in turn just altogether, they'll be controlling the market and they can control like what people are renting for.
Absolutely.
And so then it really will be there. The middle class will be completely depleted once all this is through, in my opinion. I think it may already be.
And we talk about shadow governments and the man behind the curtain that's doing the pulling of the string, so to speak, as far as the corporate business world is concerned. And that argument can be made to bleed into politics, because where there's money, there's corruption, there's politics. Is Vanguard and BlackRock. Those are the two that have been running this game, at least in this country, if not the entire world, for quite some time. And they get their funding from the Rothschilds.
Yeah. I was wondering. Yeah, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. We've been hearing, the conspiracy community was almost built upon hearing about the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Like, that was one of the first things I ever heard, even before 9/11. I wasn't even sure about 9/11. Like, I heard, you know, because you always hear, like, in the beginning, whenever I first started getting into it, I always heard 9/11 in the same group as aliens and Bigfoot and shit like that. But Rockefeller and Rothschilds, dude, I was hearing about that shit back in middle school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, yeah, of course they got their ties and their teeth sunk into freaking everything.
Everything, dude, where money's involved. Which, if name one thing that does not have money more involved than American politics.
Yeah, right? Exactly, dude. I mean,
and that's actually a crazy thing, because in the United Kingdom, like, all the money in politics is really very, very much more in the institutional power. Like, you don't see massive donations to a politician. Like, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. In America, it's any person who wants to do anything. It's crazy. And I certainly want to get into the who. Like, we'll certainly dig into the Rockefellers and Rothschilds. Rockefellers in particular are much more instrumental in this, even though the Rothschilds are the money men, and ultimately they are above Rockefeller. The reality is that the Rockefeller, you can pretty much prove at every step. Like, I have the documentation to prove they're involved at every step. We don't have that on the Rothschilds, even though we know they're involved.
Right.
You got the Rockefeller Foundation and all that shit, right? Like,
exactly.
It's up in New York, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're making like a legal or political case, you know, it has to be airtight, right? Like, we even though those of us like us know who's involved, it has to be a really airtight case if you're going to try to, you know, prosecute someone or remove someone's power. So yeah, BlackRock or Vanguard, BlackRock will use ESG, environmental social governance. So basically what they'll say is, we're not giving you any money and you can't operate if you do not abide by sustainable development. And basically all that means is, if you don't operate by global corporatist rules, no money for you, no property for you. So that's how it works. And it, of course, is really discriminatory, because basically what this does is, guys who, let's say you work in manufacturing, agriculture, you do any real job or any real business. And I say to someone who works in tech, I run a small tech business, but the reality is it's not real. I mean, it's all just on a screen.
Right. It's not a tangible good or service.
Yeah, it's not like survival based, right? Whereas if you're raising cattle, or you are making a car, or you're producing things, that's real. And it's kind of what Trump was talking about the necessity for us to produce our own stuff again.
Sure.
So essentially it cuts all these people out, and it essentially just centralizes all of the money and power, of course, into global corporations, because they're the only ones who can afford to go by this ESG rule guide, right? So
the ones that can afford to enforce it.
Yes. And, you know, it's very expensive to do, because it's like, hey, you've got to cut out carbon. So that means no cars, that means no farms, that means no manufacturing, means all sorts of really harmful things to the average person.
Right.
So by banning that, what we essentially do is, it means if they were to bring in, which they will, which they have in China, and they started this process with the vaccine passport, of course, if they bring in a social credit system based on sustainability, which is what it ultimately is going to be. I've been telling people this all through COVID, the real social credit system was never going to be the vaccine passport. It's going to be sustainability, because you can control so much more under that. If you think about it, you can control your water usage, how much you eat, how much you travel, even how much calories you're taking, even where you're spending your money. So the vaccine passport is limited, whereas the sustainable development, there's no limit, literally not a single limit. You can limit what people consume, what they spend money on, how much money they earn, where they live, every facet of their life. So that's the ultimate mechanism that they're going to use for this new world order.
Mm. And of course they don't, actually care about, you know, the environment and all that stuff. They don't care about the carbon emissions and all that bullshit. Look at all the chemtrails that they're spraying. Look at all the fluoride that's in the water. Look at all the bullshit that we eat and the chemicals in our food. They don't care about our health, dude.
Right.
I mean, look at this vaccine. There was like a month that they were like practicing on other people with it. They don't care about our well-being.
Of course not.
This is just another money-making way to rake in the dough, dude. It's the 21st century way of doing things. And they eventually needed to revamp the system, because everybody else was starting to see people like us and people like you and other people all across other podcasts and stuff calling out the bullshit. This is just another way for us to lose a grip.
Right.
I mean, we're already so dumbed down with everything, all the media blasting us right in the face. Like half of all people have no idea about this.
Right.
No idea. And if they've heard about it, they're like, that's just another bullshit conspiracy theory. No, dude, that's not good enough, dude. We got to look into this. And it even says in the Constitution that we have the right to overthrow our government if they so choose to start fucking with us in a way that is unacceptable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And for all of us,
right there in the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Yeah.
And for all of our cult members that don't understand how the ultimate they, could manipulate you into buying things, to selling things, to moving to a different place. Just think about this, all right? How would a controlling power try to get everybody to move from point A to point B? They would make point A so bad, so uninhabitable, such high taxes, such high cost of living, that they would force people out, i.e. what is happening in California and why Austin and Reno are the new fucking L.A., right? They made California so uninhabitable, nobody could afford to live there. Now we have Texas, who has always been a red state.
Yeah.
Now there's talks of them possibly being a blue state for the first time ever. How did that happen? It wasn't because of a bunch of hipsters left. It's because they made it to where they had to leave, and they made them go to a place to where they can affect the voting.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Point, like what we're talking about here. So it's not only can it happen, it's already fucking happening.
Well, and in my opinion, too, that's where they're over in California, probably specifically in L.A., is probably where they're going to be rolling out the old smart cities. Have you heard about that?
Like, oh, yeah, that's completely linked to all of this. Yeah.
Yes,
well, the smart city will operate on this ESG guideline, right? So the environmental social governance framework basically underpins the other parts of the project, like the social credit system that you'll operate in every day, that will make you lose points if you don't pick up dog poop, for example, which is how it operates in China, in the parts of the China it's in. So, and of course, again, when you're saving the earth and everything is made of carbon, there's no limit to what you can penalize people for. And in this case, you won't even need to throw them in prison, of course. All you need to do is say, well, you don't have the social credit points to get an apartment or to drive your car or to get a job. And that would be more punishing to people than actually going to prison, right? Because at least in prison, I get 3 meals a day and somewhere to sleep, right? So there's a lockout process. And to be honest, for most of us, we'd rather be locked out because it's so tyrannical to be locked in. But for your average person who's not woke to this, they'll submit because they don't want to be locked out, right? Because it's a very lonely world out there, and how they not have a clue how to survive. So what we're trying to do right now, the first major step I'm trying to take with the organization is to ban ESG, ban the social credit system itself, right? So that would essentially mean that if we can get this through, and this can't be done federally, it has to be done state by state, because of course no blue state, unfortunately, is going to pass this. So what it would do is we can take back half the country. We can save half the country. And that would still make it like the seventh biggest country in the world. You know, so we would have 150 million people in a massive amount of land, even if it's split in half. But the goal for me is to make sure that at least in the red states, we have the ability to do so. We start banning these things outright. We ban the social credit system, and then we gut out the United Nations Agenda 21, 2030 treaties themselves. So it's not going to be an overnight process. It's going to take a few years. But the hope for me and the goal for me is by 2025 for us to have an Amexit, an American exit from globalism, a withdrawal. So we're working on it. Now, if you find me floating at the bottom of the river at some point, then you know why.
Right, right.
But I don't think so. You know, so I think that we're going to be able to do this. I am optimistic, but I know full well the challenges that are going to come with it. And, you know, so this is why we need a lot of support, not financial support. Really what we need is I need you to kind of support the project so we can expand quickly, right? Like write to your congressman, tell them to speak to me. And that's really the best thing we could do. So that's pretty much it. That's the organization. And that's what we're going for. At the end of the day, it is a withdrawal. I don't think we can stop the New World Order, but we can withdraw from it. We can separate from it. We can cut them out of our jurisdiction. And that's what we're going to do.
And, you know, I was just thinking, dude, I mean, are we going to turn back into, like, you know, back in the 1700s America, where we're talking about colonies and not really so much a country or the corporation that we are? Like, if you're able to turn these, I mean, you already said pretty much the blue states are pretty much roasted at this point. But if you're able to take some of the red states or even the in-between states, I mean, are we talking about like a split of America? I mean, how are we going to be looking in the future, let's say 20, 30 years from now? I mean, are we talking about possibly an actual split here? Like best case scenario?
And it's not what I'm aiming for. Like the ideal scenario, of course, would be that we just save the 50 state union. But you know, we also have to be realistic with where a lot of the constituencies are at, where a lot of these people are at. You know, I've lived in Southern California, and you know, if I were to go up and tell them that environmental social governance is bad, they would just say, I hate planet Earth and I am a fascist, even though ESG is the fascism, right? Which is the ultimate irony, of course. So it's tough. I mean, there is something to be said though for trials changing people. And I could envision that as we get up to 2030, which is a sort of major milestone. So we only have 8 years to pull this off, which is saving a civilization. So if you think about it, 1776 was the Declaration of Independence, and 1789 is when they signed the Bill of Rights. So that was 12 years. So we have four less years than the founding fathers had in that process. But, I would say it could change people. Like this whole entire process we're going through, the fact that people are going to be tyrannized, the fact that society is going to get very, very difficult for a lot of people, could transform even many of those major blue areas, could. But I try not to bank on overly hopeful optimism, because at the end of the day, my job is to get the job done. So if that means it's half the country, then so be it. It's half the country. You know, I come from the United Kingdom originally. I mean, England and Scotland and Wales were independent nations for longer than they've been a collective nation. So, you know, and Scotland nearly left the United Kingdom back in 2014. So it's not unusual in history for nations to come together and then leave again. But again, it's not what I'm hoping for. I just think it's a natural consequence of the fact that if you have half the country who are going deeper into global governance, who are going to go deeper into everything globalism, and half that are withdrawing from it, a natural consequence is that they're just going to be living like North and South Korea, where we'll have South Korea and they will have North Korea.
I want to ask you about that as well. When you say the UK is, I know when Brexit happened, did Scotland and Wales and North Ireland come with Brexit?
Yep.
Or was it strictly Britain?
Yeah. So, so the United Kingdom is England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Right.
So UK is like 3.5 countries in one nation.
Right.
Because they were their own individual nations for many, many hundreds of years before they came as one.
So Brexit was all of them leaving the EU.
Whole UK. Yeah. So it was mostly England that voted for the leaving the EU. But because it is one nation, everyone left the EU.
Side question. You being from jolly old yourself, you support Northern Ireland still being owned by Britain? Or do you think Ireland should be owned by Ireland?
So my dad is actually from Belfast, from Northern Ireland.
Oh, shit.
And he's a Catholic nationalist, so he's on the pro-Irish leaving Britain side. And I've always been of that because that's where my ancestry is. But I would say that now I'm not. And the reason is because if they were to leave the United Kingdom and go into Ireland, they're just going to get swallowed up into the European Union. Like if they were to have an independent island, I'd fully still support that.
Sure.
But I would rather Northern Ireland be part of an independent United Kingdom than be swallowed back up into the European Union, because Ireland is just a satellite state of the EU now. It isn't a nation anymore. No nation in the EU is, because it's just this massive supranational state that their law is supreme, and they're not even elected. The EU Commission aren't even elected. So, So it's yes if they're independent, but no if they're still in the EU.
Basically. Very good answer, sir. Very good answer.
Solid. You know, I find it, I don't know, dude, I think that all this stuff, like you talk about,
getting off the social credits.
Yeah. Getting off the social credit score. I mean, is it looking like that if everything stays the same, are we basically China like 2.0? If all that happens, like, are we just going to get swallowed up into
minus the slave labor?
I mean, it's going to be world government. I mean, it's essentially probably will be slave labor at that point. Because if, let's say, you forget to pick up your dog shit out in the yard, and bang, you lose a couple of points, and maybe your dog shits 10 times and you lose so many points that you can't get anything, you know, all that. Like, if that happens, I mean, are we looking at, I mean, just massive amounts of people living in the streets? I mean, I don't see how this is such a good idea for all these people. Like, you would think, I mean, I understand that this is all just, you know, they want to make everything quote unquote safe place with all the carbon emissions, but at the same time, like, nobody wants to live in California, and essentially that's what this would be doing,
right?
It would be turning the entire country into California.
Well, like, okay, the dog shit example is a contrived example, and I get that, although it is being done, like, in Singapore. Sure. It's jail time if you spit gum on the ground, like, straight to jail, no questions asked, that's it. But let's take it to a level that most Americans, I think, could at least understand. Let's say that your car, if it is anything above a four-cylinder, they make you put some sort of a scrubber system on your exhaust, and it's going to cost you $2,000. But if you don't do it, you're not going to get a tax return this year.
Damn.
Yeah. Right. And if you don't do it, that's a social credit. And when you piss off so many things, now you start losing rights. Now you may not be able to vote in the next election because, well, I need to see your credit. I need to see what your card's about. They'll swipe your license to see all of your information. They'll see, oh, I see you haven't done X, Y, and Z. Yeah, you're not allowed to vote in this election, right? Or you're not able to buy a home.
Right.
That's exactly what BlackRock are already doing with the SG. Yep. So, of course, they're buying up the property, as you said. But they're also, basically, if you're a business and you want to invest, if you're already not meeting the sustainable development goals, they're already not giving you investment, already not allowing you to operate. So we're already at the point where it affects business and property and politics. We're just not yet there where it affects you as an individual.
Right.
But we're already past the point of it affecting society in terms of economically. So give it a few more years and yeah, it'll go right down to you as an individual. And you could imagine it. I always kind of talk about it as an app, even though it would be more of a software integration, but just think of it as an app. And on the app, you have your driving license, you have your age, you have all your basic information, your citizenship, whatever. And in that app, it will have points based on your lifestyle, based on how sustainable you are. And those credits will, you know, go up or down, depending upon who do you fly with, what do you purchase, which products. And believe it or not, it even is going to get to this point where the type of company you buy from will determine your points. So, for example, if I give you a donation as the podcast, or I give World Wildlife Fund a donation, right? It's two donations, but one I will get points for and one I could lose points for if not get any points. So every single area, but also just how much water you're using. Like if you've showered twice a day, you'll lose points because that's bad for the environment. You flush your toilet too many times. You buy more food than you need. It every area. And the points on the app would just go down.
Yeah. I can also see as far as where you work with us, with all the plant work that we do, how horrible is that for the environment? Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, wait, you work at .. oil refinery? Oh, mm-hmm. Well, shit. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not sustainable for their purposes.
And, you know, we're kind of already seeing something along these lines. I mean, this is maybe a precursor to it. But in the beginning, we had Alex Jones being canceled. And then it went to Donald Trump being canceled. And now it seems as though Russia is being canceled. All these companies, all these big corporations are completely pulling out of Russia, essentially canceling not only the Russian government, but the Russian people, right?
Russian
economy, it's almost as if this is the beginning of a social credit score, because it's like, okay, well, now we got everybody behind it. Putin's such a bad guy. Fuck all of Russia.
It's disguised under the veil of morality. Because they don't want to support the evil bad guys coming in. In reality, it's just another pawn in the global government system, bro.
Right. And if all these corporations get behind this whole idea, and surely they will. I mean, look at they're essentially all puppets, dude. All it took in the beginning, whenever COVID first started, was that first company to say, "Hey, we're shutting down," and all other companies started shutting down. It's the same thing that's going on with Russia. The first company, McDonald's or whoever it was, maybe it was Starbucks. Oh, we're pulling out of Russia, and now there's all this pressure to get pulled out of Russia. Now, I'm not for or against any of this shit that's going on. Like, I couldn't care less about, I mean, it's not that I don't care less, it's that I'm not going to pick sides, because who knows what the real story is? Like, can we even believe the news anymore? Is that what we're going to use as some sort of third eye being wide open, man. Like, looking at these people?
Did you see what I just shared? They had, like, a bunch of bodies behind the guy, and, like, they were in body bags, but one of them, the wind kept blowing him up and the body was like covering his face.
I saw it. Yeah.
It was funny. A dude saying that was like, okay, so full on media control over, like, there's plenty of bad shit you could be recording right now, but you're still staging things in Ukraine. Like, why?
It's
why?
Propaganda, dude. All that bill was passed with old Bill Clinton back in the 90s, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever it's all so corrupt, and this is why whenever people are arguing online, no, this is happening, no, this is happening, and what rights and what freedoms are you going to fight for? No, you're not fighting for anything.
No,
you posting on social media is not a fight against anything.
No,
you know what I'm saying? And I feel like, dude, we're just being herded like the sheep that we are.
Indeed.
Go this way. Get mad about this. Don't get mad about this. Pick this side or else you're a bigot. You're a fascist. You're a pig. It's just so crazy. This is the beginning of the social credit score, in my opinion, at least amongst the people.
Especially in Russia, all these companies pulling out of Russia, all this is doing is resetting the clock. Because now when these companies come back, because these companies are funded by these two big conglomerates, right? The Vanguard and the BlackRock.
Yes.
Once these companies go back in, which they will because they're businesses, they're going to set up shop in Russia again and continue operations once this is all settled, however it shakes out, okay? Once that happens, now they have a clean slate to start from to keep tabs on everything.
Dude, it's not.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and the funny that you mentioned it right about the social credit system, because I guess I didn't mention this, but there's lots of elements of this globalism that we've already been seeing that are going to be in it, right? So it isn't. So yes, it's all about sustainable development, because that's the biggest control mechanism. As I said, you can control consumption, production, everything. But they'll include other areas like gender equality, like your views on Black Lives Matter, like your views on God, like your views on all sorts of things. Anything that's tradition, anything that roots you in anything that is not rootsless, they go after, right? So the family unit, faith, nationalism, whatever. Because if you're rooted in a tradition, you're rooted in a people, you're rooted in a faith, you can't really be controlled, right? Because it's like, well, if you give me a dictum, I've got a 2,000-year-old dictum right here that I abide by. So I can't be moved. But if you don't abide by that, then you're going to take whatever new dictums come about, right? So this is why they're always trying to destroy, erode the nation state and erode family unit and faith. Those are the primary three that they're always going for. So gender equality, of course, we're all for gender equality, but we've already got gender equality.
Right.
What they mean when they say gender equality is they don't want children at home raising kids. That's what they actually mean. They want children out there so the state, the corporate state, can raise the children.
Right.
So the same with their first sustainable development goal, which is, of course, all these are to be achieved by 2030. The first one is no poverty. What they really mean, as you said at the beginning, is nobody will own property. Then you have no poverty. Because if there's no difference between middle and lower class and everyone's just lower, well, there's no poverty anymore, right? Because again, they've set out the parameters to say, well, if there's no competition, then there's no poverty. And right. In a sense, that's true. So all of these terms will be included, right? So you're absolutely right. Things like Russia would be included in the social credit system, but it's not really obviously about Russia. It is just about, are you on side with the New World Order or not? And if you're not, you will lose points, and they'll include many areas of that. The Russia-Ukraine thing, it's a distraction in the sense that people are invested in either side, but it isn't a distraction in terms of what it was set out to do.
Right.
I put a video on TikTok in January, a couple of months back, about this, significantly before the invasion happened. And I pointed out that the major cause, the major fallout of the Ukraine-Russia war was going to be them going closer to China, Russia, and dropping the US dollar. And of course, 2 months later, now that this is becoming news and they're saying, oh, they're going to drop the dollar, America has like created such a problem by, you know, and I'm like, no, this was always planned. That was always the point. Otherwise, how the hell did I predict it 2 months ago? If it was just an act of God, if it was just a natural consequence. No, that was always the point, because China is the technocracy model of the world. The style of government we're talking about is technocracy, right? This social credit system, controlling resources, that's technocracy. So China was set up by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski as the technocracy model of the world back in the 70s, when they went from communism to capitalism. Really, they went from communism to technocracy. And David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski set it up to be the model for the world, which is why, of course, when COVID happened, they were the model that everyone followed. Oh, China are doing a lockdown. They've contained the virus. We have to do what China did.
Right.
So we're going through that process now. Now, as Russia move away from America and go to China and they drop the US dollar as the reserve currency of the world, we're right and primed for A, China becoming the number one player on the global stage instead of us, and B, the reset of the financial system, which is what the reset was always about. The Great Reset was always about the finances. You know, and Klaus Schwab said this. He said, to avoid a Great Depression, we need a Great Reset. So all the pieces are there. None of this, I mean, I'm not saying that Putin isn't, I'm not saying Putin is necessarily controlled. It's the same thing as Trump. It's when you're working within the boundary conditions that they set out. So they set out the conditions, they set the parameters, and they say, okay, so parameter is, this is where society starts, this is where it ends. Anything outside of these parameters is outside of boundary conditions, and therefore too far out the Overton window. Right. So everything remains in. So then even if Putin and Ukraine are having a genuine dispute, which they are, it's like the Northern Ireland situation we talked about. They've always had a dispute because it's a land grievance. Like, there are Russians there, just like there are British people in Northern Ireland, and they're fighting over land. So that's genuine. That's happened forever. But what the global financial elite are doing to egg it on is what we should really be looking at. Right. So rather than the dispute itself, the people that have set the parameters, what are they going to benefit from this? Well, America has to be demoted on the global stage. It has to be brought down.
Right.
They would like to destroy it eventually, but at this point, that's not necessary. They just need it to be humiliated. This is why you have a dummy as like a literal houseplant as the president.
Right.
We have right. that because it's a demoralization ritual. So, and in a sense, they need us to lose that position in the world so China can take it. But ultimately, it's not about China, of course. the move is global governance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But China are the model that will spearhead that, because America's not going to go for that.
Right.
And China will.
Weird. I thought it was weird whenever all of the COVID shit first came out. Why would we take China's lead on anything ever, period, the end? When in American history have we ever looked to China as being an example to follow? But somehow when COVID happened, which they released, which granted it wasn't, we know who actually released it. But my point is, okay, China's locking down. Okay, that's a communist country. Shocker, they're being mean to their people. Why would we follow suit?
Exactly, dude.
But we sure as fuck did. Hook, line, and sinker followed them to the T.
Oh, dude, in the beginning of COVID, they're the ones that, like, we saw the videos of people dying in the streets of COVID.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the people that were like, it was so bad. Everybody be scared. Everybody stay in your house. Don't go to your job. Don't go. You wear a mask, because that's what everybody in China does whenever anybody's sick. And that's fine. But to be forcefully be put upon all these restrictions and everything, all these ideas came out of China. And so now you're seeing that, like, all of the world is following all these same restrictions that China has set out upon us. So whenever you're talking about China being, you know, not even so much communism anymore, but more of a technocracy,
yeah,
this makes absolute sense. And you know what I was thinking about whenever you were talking about back in the 1776 with the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and all that stuff, how they had 12 years in between and now we only have 8. There's a chance that we still have a chance, because they didn't have the internet back then.
No.
They couldn't listen to podcasts or go on YouTube, or, I mean, fuck YouTube these days, go to Rockfin. But but they didn't have TikTok and all that stuff.
They didn't have the communication, the capability, but they also didn't have the freedom that we had. Think about it. The only people that had a voice back then were white landowning males.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So now more than ever, we are on an even playing field with all demographics of our nation.
Now,
and we have communication power to get the word out to everybody instantly at our fingertips.
I don't know for how much longer we have that privilege. I don't know. I mean, YouTube's already slashing everybody, and TikTok I even see is censoring.
Yeah.
Podcasts are starting to get the same thing.
It's very likely they're going to try cyber attack, aren't they? As Klaus Schwab said back in, so when he announced the Great Reset, he said, what's going to be worse than COVID-19 is a cyber attack, right? So I think that's what the Third World War is actually going to be, right? I don't expect an all guns blazing Third World War. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. There's definitely not going to be any nuclear war or anything like that. That's all a distraction. That's a fear campaign. That's nonsense.
Yes.
The real Third World War has already been happening, but I mean, it really started in March 2020. It started this time exactly 2 years ago. But the cyber attack would likely allow them to reset the internet beneath the internet, right? Because there's obviously a different type of internet beneath the servers, the way that everything is constructed, which also links to traffic lights, hospitals, nuclear plants, all sorts of stuff. That it would allow them to reset that alongside the financial system. So I'd imagine if they're going to go for any major PSYOP event, cyber attack and blaming Russia would be super easy, because they've revved everyone up for it, right? So, because I always try to say this to people, 9/11, COVID-19, always look for the thing that the PSYOP that they're going to use as the excuse. So, because people are thinking, oh, Al-Qaeda are going to come and kill us all. And what really happened is one event, and then they justified 20 years of security state. COVID-19,
right.
One event, they justify many years of biosurveillance state. One event here to blame Russia. There's no need for nuclear war. They just need the event to justify all the changes.
Right.
It's the Hegelian dialectic, sir. Indeed. I mean, that's all we're talking about here. Problem, reaction, solution. I mean, they've had the solution even before the problem was probably thought of.
See, they had their end goal, but they had to create the problem to get to it and make the end goal look like the solution.
Exactly.
Mark,
I want to go over, how much success have you had with your program here? Have you had successes traveling to and talking to governors and stuff like that?
Yeah. So basically right now I have, so I only launched 8-9 months ago in June of 2021. So in that time, with no investment, with no mainstream media support, I mean, I've had a lot of alternative media support, a lot of interviews and stuff in our space. But yeah, I've managed. So far I have three counties, three Republican counties, I have a few congressmen, a few legislators, and a state senator. So that's only in 8 months without any investment, without any mainstream media. What could we do with a couple more years, bit of investment, and a bit of media attention? I mean, who knows? The sky's the limit. Because that's what I've done as just one guy without a team, without all of the bells and whistles that come. So if we can continue to grow the operation, we can streamline that. We can get one of those in every state, because that's really all we need. What I've done in Montana so far, which is where we started this project, because I was invited to by a chairman of one of the county councils. If we can just replicate what I've already done in Montana at this point across the other red states, we'd already be most of the way there. So, because right now what it is you meet with, you really need like a state senator to get a bill passed in the state government. So what you need is then you bring the information, you compile the case. I actually just had a conference call with them a couple of days ago to try to put together this case for the social credit system. And then we're going to go after other elements of it as well. And then they have to actually create a bill that's obviously fully going to pass, and then it becomes law. So it's quite a lengthy process, but I'm working with the same people in Montana that banned the vaccine from being mandatory by private businesses. So they got that through. We should be able to get this through, and then all the other stuff, right? So so that's basically what we need. We need some congressmen, some city governments, and a state senator, legislator, per state. And yeah, making a lot of progress, because if we can do it in one state, we can do it in 50, or we can do it in 25, right? Like there's, it's a proof of concept is what we need.
Right.
Now, whenever you're going up and talking to these higher up people and you know, within the counties or the districts or the states or whatever, I mean, are they aware of these agendas? I mean, these quote unquote conspiracies, whenever we're talking about agenda 2030 and 21 and all that.
Do they act like you're telling them a whole new information, or like, oh no, we see it too? Like, how does that go over?
No, so this is actually what I was going to say. This is the bizarre thing. So when we talk about political corruption, there is obviously a lot of political corruption, but it's really in DC mostly, and in certain state levels, particularly the blue ones. Now, the DC level, by the way, red or blue, it makes no difference. Like, it's the same system, right? But at the local level, it does make a difference. And is what I try to tell people, like, it does, because I live in a very red area and I don't need a license for guns. I've never had to take a COVID vaccine or wear a mask or anything. It makes a difference at the local level. The federal level, not really, right? So, but in this sense, when I've gone and spoken to them, most of them are great people, at least the ones that I've worked with so far. They just had no idea, like literally not a clue that any of this was happening. When I explained, for example, Agenda 21 and the plan of regionalizing the world, putting people into smart cities, and I told them that it was rooted in this idea of carbon neutral. It's very difficult for most people to connect those two things at first. Like, well, I just thought carbon neutral was like solar panels and stuff. They had no idea that carbon neutral means a social credit system, the removal of agriculture, the removal of cars, the removal of manufacturing. But once you explain it and once they understand it, they're pretty open. I mean, they are willing to do the thing they need to do. The issue is that selling the idea for them is quite tough. And that's why what we need to do is we need to continue to grow public support, because all of the institutions are working against these good politicians. Like the ones that, like, for example, the ones I'm working with, they want to get this, they want to save America. They want to do this work. They want to stop the New World Order, even though they wouldn't use that term. But all the institutions are working against them, right? The financial institutions, the universities, even their own political institutions in many cases. So the only way we can really get this job done is if we get public support behind it, right? Because this is kind of what Trump did. Trump basically leveraged the public support against the fact that the media and the political institutions were against him. So that's what we're going to have to do here. So it's all about spreading the word and getting people locked into this project. Like we have to do something that is actually tangibly going to save our way of life, because our way of life is really under threat now. You know, a few years ago, we had the luxury of talking about it like it was a hypothesis before COVID happened. But now we know that it's everything we said was going to happen is real, and that they are actually going to do this. So we have to stop it. And what I'm doing isn't the only thing. It's just the first thing we have to do. We have to at least ban in many of the areas across the country we have the ability to. We have to gut them out. We can't allow them to parasitically drain us and operate in our space. And then once we do that, there are other things we need to do, a lot of other things, but this has to be done first. And at least then we can sail away on our lifeboats while the Titanic hits the iceberg, and the Titanic being the rest of the nations of the world. I hope that isn't the case, but we have to plan for that being the case, right? That's what insurance is. Insurance is planning for the worst case scenario. We hope for the best. So the real issue that we have is like communicating it to, I have a lot of people that email me and reach out to me and say, how can I help? And but like it's difficult to communicate this to a state senator in a way that's going to make sense and that's practical. Because what I don't want to do is tell somebody who emails me, hey, go to your congressman and tell him this, because it might do more damage than good, unfortunately. So that's why at the moment, what I think we need to do is rally around this particular project. And then my hope is that as public awareness grows and as political awareness grows and as we get successes, splinter groups will open up and do their own thing. You know, I don't want to be the only guy doing it, of course. It's just, it has to be done properly for us to at least get those first wins.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and back to what you were talking about with the damn, I keep on losing my train of thought. I didn't have enough coffee this morning. Pardon
I hear
me.
you.
I feel it.
But yeah, like back to when we were talking about just how we can get everybody behind this, like how you're talking about like whenever people come up to you and they're talking about, you know, what can I do? And you want to talk to the governors and stuff like that. And, you know, all the representatives. I mean, is there a plan set in place? Do you have people in other states that you can count on that can present this information, in a way that won't be harmful, in a way that won't make us look like we're just a bunch of crazy people? I mean, obviously it's all written in all of their documentation.
Right.
I mean, they've talked about all of this. You know, this is why, like, whenever you present this information to people in higher realms, they don't know a lot of this stuff because the bills are so massive. The Green New Deal, the Paris Climate Accord, I mean, all the shit that we were getting last year with all the free money and and stuff like that, the bills are thousands of pages long. People
Right.
don't have time to dig through all that shit. And so really the only people that have time to dig through it is the people that have a sense of, oh wait, I think they're trying to fuck us. We need to look deeper into all this. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of
Yeah.
people, like, you see these senators and these congressmen, and they just say, oh, well, this is, oh, Paris Climate Accord or Green New Deal. I think that the world should be greener. I'm gonna go ahead and sign this. It's
Yeah.
so idiotic. It's like the Patriot Act. Oh, who wouldn't want to be a part of the Patriot way? I mean, we're America. We want to be patriots. But then you look down deep down inside of those documents,
Right.
and it's like, oh, this is the most unpatriotic thing I've ever heard of.
Everything's an inverse, right? This is the satanic way of doing things. That the satanic way of doing things is that everything is inverted. So when they say Patriot Act, it really destroys patriotism, right? It really destroys American freedom.
Sure.
When they say green, when they say sustainable, it really destroys a natural way of life, an actual sustainable way of life, like hunting, like out here, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, like deer. These are the most sustainable fuckers on the planet. They
Yeah.
go, they hunt a deer, they eat it, they don't rely on the system's mechanisms to survive. This is true sustainability, but this is what they're destroying. So they say, hey, we're going to take back that land to make it sustainable, which basically means you have to rely on fake meat created in a lab. It's like, so everything is inverted, and that is the satanic way of operating. Everything is inverted. So whatever they say, it always means the opposite. Patriot destroys patriotism, and sustainability destroys sustainability.
I love that you
True.
brought up the satanic way of thinking,
Very
because
true.
that's they almost seem as if that's what they are. You know, like these people are not like me and you that care about other people. Like there's something that is turned off, or I don't know, maybe turned on in their brain to where they're able to do all this stuff without a guilty conscience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just for the cheddar cheese. It's just for the power. They don't care about your well-being. They don't care about your family or your love for your wife or your kids or anything like that, or your community. I mean, what do you think is actually going on with these people? The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds of the world, the Black Rocks. I mean, are they? I mean, this sounds far-fetched to some people. In my opinion, I mean, we're all spiritual beings. I mean, yeah. Have these people been hacked in some sort of way, or have they given up? Like, have they sold their soul? In your opinion, I mean, is that what we're talking about here? People who are actual demons?
I say, do you mean figuratively or literally? Because kind of yes to both.
Right, right. I mean,
right. I would say yes to both. You know, so there's obviously areas we can prove. There's areas we can't prove. I would though want to point out for the record, because when people hear metaphysical claims, as someone who is a philosopher of science, I try to tell people, because often people say, there's no proof for metaphysics or anything. And I say, actually, you use metaphysics every single day. I'll give you a few examples of metaphysics used every single day. Mathematics is one. People go, oh, mathematics. No, that's real. It's on a whiteboard. It's like, okay, but the number one, this is one, but this isn't the number one. This is one unit. The number one exists in immaterial space.
Right.
And the whiteboard algebra we do, or this particular unit, is just a subcategory of the metaphysical category of mathematics.
Sure.
Logic is the same. The laws of logic, the principle of identity, which basically means that this can only ever be this thing and not something else. A can only ever equal A, not B. Basically, the truth can only ever be true and never a lie, and a lie can only ever be a lie and never the truth. So these are all metaphysical realities that exist in our space that we use every single day. So people use metaphysics for science every single day without even knowing it. People are doing scientific experiments thinking metaphysics is bullshit, that can't be proved, while using mathematics and logic as the foundation of all of science.
That's a very good example. I mean, it's an ethereal concept, right?
Yeah.
As much as 1 + 1 = 2 is an ethereal thing, okay, that's not a tangible thing, but it is something that we all understand as a fact, right?
Yes.
Just right. Much as infinity is an ethereal thing, but we know that it is at play. So it's very, very good example, sir.
Yeah, well, so there are many of these. Geometry is another example,
sure.
Right? But I use logic because logic is really the foundation of everything, because logic, the principle of identity, that A being A or one being one, really is a foundation of even mathematics, right? Like if you don't have logic, if you don't have a construct that things are ordered in, then, or supposed to be ordered in, then mathematics wouldn't even work in the end of the day. So these are immaterial concepts. These are immaterial truths, eternal truths that span space and time. So people have to keep these things in mind, that when they're talking about metaphysics, that these things are scientific realities that we operate in every day. So then if we are to look at this in terms of spirituality, rather than focusing on the form, so there's information and there's properties, and the properties is, let's look at properties as the behavior, and the information being the description, right? So we can kind of remove the description. It doesn't matter what people call it from an information perspective. Like if you call it a demon, or you call it an ideology, or you call it the collective unconscious, as Jung would call it, doesn't matter. That's information. The properties is what's important. The behavior that comes from either the demonic influence or the metaphysical influence or the collective unconscious or the ideology. And on the properties level, on that behavior, there is a thing, for sure. There is an essence. There is a force that captivates people. COVID proved this. We've seen it. We've seen it transform people in the space of a couple of weeks. And it tends to be when you're in trauma, your brain is susceptible, your brain is malleable. So you can imagine your brain is like Play-Doh in trauma. Generally, what happens is you've obviously gone straight into fight or flight, freeze or fawn. And in that mode, if you stay in that mode long enough, you'll become susceptible to anything, because you're basically looking for someone to fix the problem. Enter Bill Gates, enter Anthony Fauci, right? So in a state of trauma, people become susceptible to these things en masse. Now, a lot of these people we're talking about, the psychopathic elite, quote unquote,
right?
They're not really elite, of course, but they have tons of trauma in early life due to the fact that they're neglected. Many are also abused themselves. They have a very harsh, cold environment. They don't have any love at all as children. So they are raised in trauma, to the point where they become totally desensitized to the needs and well-being of any of us, and including any of themselves. So there's that aspect. But on a, I guess, a metaphysical level, that they do have a philosophy. Their philosophy is that they, the Luciferian philosophy is ultimately that you are God, that you are your own creator, right? So Satanism is more carnal desires. They're linked, right? Because if you think you're God, then the carnal desires would be the next level. You'd be like, wait, well, if I'm God and I'm creating my own reality, there's no limit to what I can do. Like, it doesn't matter if I kidnap a child, it doesn't matter if I bomb a country, because it's just my reality at the end of the day. It's not like we have it's not like there's a standard above me, like a creator above me who gets to determine the rules. I determine the rules, and they can be whatever they want, right? So there you get your satanic carnal desires come after that, which is like, well, if I'm creating the rules, I'll just do whatever I want, right? So there's these aspects too. And George Soros pointed this out in his book. He said when he was doing his Open Society Foundation, which is essentially to spread globalism across the world through migration patterns, because if the American people, if I brought all a bunch of people from France and England, it's not even a racial thing. Let me just pull all the French people and bring them into America. Is America still going to be America? No. No, it isn't. Even if they're the same ethnic and racial background, it's no longer America if I've replaced the people. Right. So, and in this sense, that's what George Soros believes, right? And in his book, he says, as I was doing the Open Society Foundation and creating this mass migration patterns across the world to erode the nation state, erode the bond that people have together, I felt like a god. So that in itself is their fundamental belief system, that they believe that they are God and that it is their job to solve the problem. So when people go, mass death has been caused through injections or has been caused through poverty, is going to be caused through all sorts of things. They're just evil. They are evil because that's the trauma that they had separated them. It's desensitized them completely to any pain. But there is a metaphysical mission for them. They truly believe that this project will save us in the end. Like, if we can just integrate into machines, if we can just become transhuman, and if we can just escape nationalism and faith and family and all of the things that enslave us, this is how inverted they are. They believe that everything that we hold dear enslaves us. They believe that God is a dictator. They believe family is slavery. So their view is, as Rockefeller called it, mandatory liberation, which again, inversion, how can you mandatory liberate?
Right.
That's how they view things. So their view is by mandatory liberation, they will set us free. And if that means that we have to kill a few billion people, if that means we have to destroy civilizations, and if that means we have to integrate into machines, so be it, because the ends justify the means.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely, dude. And I think, like, you know, you think back to whenever America was founded. I mean, you know, the United States of America, of course, America has been here for a little while before that. But the United States of America, it was really founded upon Christianity, right? Like, it needed some sort of religion to look up and to be able to live up to some kind of moral standard. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not just in a lawful way, but in a spiritual way.
Right.
If you take that away. You take that away, and our God is are these global governance, call it technocracy, call it communism. Whenever you're looking up to Xi Jinping, whenever you're looking up to Bill Gates or George Soros or any of these people as if they are God, we are going to absolutely lose that spiritual nature within us. Because now who are you going to pray to? Why are you going to pray to somebody that's still living? It doesn't make any damn sense. You're not going to do that. Maybe you're going to write them a letter. Please, sir, I just need a loaf of bread. Please, I just, for this. No, dude, like, we need to keep that spiritual sense. And it doesn't matter if you're Christian or Buddhist or whatever it is. Maybe you just believe in the universe. It doesn't matter. We need that belief, because that's the only way that will take us away from falling us into this forever slavery.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There has to be hope, and hope is within spirituality. It doesn't exist in within animals, and that's all we would be turned into. We would just be turned into sheep. You think sheep dream about becoming president? No, like, it doesn't happen. We need that. And so,
why do you say that though? Because that actually that is a satanic in itself. So Satanists believe that man is indistinguishable from animals.
Right.
So it's funny you say that we're being turned into animals, because that's exactly their modus operandi, right? And that's why they rape and kill and do all those things, because if you believe that man and animal is indistinguishable, then yeah, raping and killing is, well, lions do that all the time. All sorts of animals do that, right? So you're tapping into a lot of deeply true concepts that they follow, and that is one of them for sure.
It's sickening, dude. It just makes me absolutely sick how they think about everything. And I just... I mean, I this is why I say that there's something totally different between them and us, is that I would never look at a human and say, oh, that's just an animal. I would never say, oh, well, their opinion doesn't matter. Like, no, this is why we have the show. We've had Democrats, we've had Republicans, we've had people who are not spiritual and people who are super spiritual. We want to hear all sides, and this is why the saying to our show is open up that third eye, because you can't have a broad view of the world unless you hear it from all sides. And then you can pick apart, you know, you got to hear both sides of the story, or all three sides, or all four sides, or the infinity of sides that there is, in order to determine, like, yo, like, we're not just a part of some kind of culture that we believe this, and our idea mindset is never going to change. No, we want to be open to all of it. You know what I'm saying?
Although,
and so
I do want to caveat, there are a group of people that I will always see as nothing more than animals, and I have no qualms with them dying, i.e. pedophiles. Like,
absolutely.
They have four.
I thought you were going to say Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Right. One and one here. We're talking about the same.
Pretty close. Yeah.
But no, you know, at a certain point, a human gives up their right to be a human, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Well, actually, funny you say that. That Jesus obviously was a very compassionate man, son of God, as I would call him, right? Like,
right.
But there's only a few times that Jesus talked about, like, destroying people. Only three times. One, when they are fighting against God, which was the Pharisees in the temple.
Yep.
One, when they sin against children. So yep. He talks about putting the millstream on their neck and throwing them in the ocean.
Yep.
And the third one is those that are demonically influenced. He says that you should trample on those things. So it's interesting. So there are only a few instances, and I think that that's quite sophisticated, because what he's done is he's not said, oh, people that are immoral, because we're all immoral, we all do stupid shit, we all steal at some point, we all lie. He's created a category that is evil, which is different from immorality.
Exactly.
So sinning against children, setting up the power of Satan, or trying to destroy God, right? So that's evil. And then everything else is immoral, right? And I think those distinctions are critical, because I'd agree with you. One, when they go to a certain point in that category, even Jesus, the guy who said, forgive your enemy, thinks that they're too far gone by that point, right? And God has to forgive them. We can't.
Absolutely.
You know, but yeah, we all do stupid shit. We all create mistakes, right? So what we were talking about is the organizing principle. This is really, so each society has an organizing principle. Imagine it's a hierarchy. I'm not Illuminati. I'm just creating a triangle.
Right.
Yeah. So at the top, you have the organizing principle. And in the case of the Western civilization over the last 1700 years, that organizing principle has been Jesus Christ. That is the organizing principle. So then underneath that, you have other principles. You have Aristotle, you have Plato, you have Isaac Newton. There are lots of categories that make up the pyramid. But the organizing principle, the top, was Jesus Christ. And then what that essentially does is your society begins to filter in a certain way. Like if Jesus said, a family is good, like you should marry a woman, you should have children, then society begins to filter out that way, because the organizing principle determines how we prioritize what we do in a day-to-day basis. That's why in Islamic societies, the organizing principle being Allah, as opposed to Jesus Christ, filters their behavior very differently. So the founding fathers, even though a few of them weren't Christian, a few of them, like Thomas Paine, who was also from England, were secular. A few of them were secular, but the people, all the founding stock of the country, were deeply Christian. And the founding fathers that were, like John Adams, said that our constitution is only fit for a Christian population. Because basically what he's saying is that our constitution is so, so libertarian that the only way it can work is if people are moral and orderly, if they can take care of their own shit and they can stop behaving bad against other people. So that organizing principle is critical to any society. And Buddha is an organized principle in one, and Allah in another, and, you know, societies have their different ones. Sure. But we don't have any of that in our history. Like, we can't, like, you know, I have, like, what we have 50-100 generations of the organizing principle of Christ. So it would be very difficult for us to go, hey, we're just going to switch and become Buddhist tomorrow, because it's not how our society has built itself. It's not how we operate. So what I try to do is I just try to ground people in that. But I also try to tell people that never limit, because it's the way that I look at Christ, for example, in my life, is it's not a dogma, it's an anchor. So you could imagine that, like, you have your, you have the gospel as your anchoring principle. But from there, you can search, you can go into ETs, you can go into astrology. Like, I'm big into astrology. My wife does it. So I'm really interested in all these categories. But I have the anchor to go, okay, what is my ultimate determination of right and wrong?
Right.
Right. So, like, you know, and that's important. We all need that.
Right.
And that's why they've removed, they're trying to erode that organizing principle for us. I like, in England, it's very, very atheist these days. And the one reason why I love America more than any other place in the West, which is basically in the world today, is because that there is still a strong spiritual tradition here.
Yeah.
Like in England, in Europe, Canada, Australia, there is no God anymore. And it's really sad. But you can go to your average person and you try to talk about demons, they'll think you're insane. If I go to someone in England and talk about this, no. But here I can find one in every three people,
yeah,
who will be open to that concept because there is God still here. And that's absolutely critical. And that's ultimately why we're going to win in the end.
And I think that that's also because religion has ruined it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm, I am a Christian, but I don't believe in religion. I personally believe in having a personal relationship with my creator.
Agreed.
I do not believe in the dogma of the sit, kneel, stand, say the song, pray the little hymns, and then you go home and you're a good Christian.
Like, and the Joel Osteens of the world.
Oh, don't even start
They're
on that.
They're Satanists part. As well, you know, that's the thing. The again, inversion. Everything's inverted.
Exactly, exactly.
Mark, great show, man. Yeah, man. I really appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate so much what you're doing, man. Like, what you're doing is, it's like, can you think of anything better that a person can do? Like, right now, you are doing God's work, sir.
Indeed.
So thank you, man. Thank you. We really appreciate having you on the show. If you can, man, like, if you want people to reach out to you, where can they find you at?
Yeah, so I do have social medias. It's like, you know, I have TikTok and Telegram and stuff, which is just my name, Mark Malone with a C. But really the best place is the website. That's where all the important work is. And that's ultimately what I know isn't going to be taken down. So America21Century.com. Email me if you're interested in knowing more. But there's plenty of information there for you to get started. And the best thing, like, you could do to help is to spread the word on that right now. And then when the time comes that we're ready to activate more across the country, I'll let everyone know.
Excellent. A good person with good morals and a good mindset. We need more people like you, sir. So we definitely appreciate everything that you do. So thank you so much for coming on the show, spreading the good word here. And we will make sure to just blast this everywhere, dude.
I appreciate you guys, man. It's been this has been one of the most enjoyable podcasts I've done. And I've done like 100. You guys are doing a great job. You keep it super, super chill. And yeah. I love it. I love it.
Awesome. We appreciate it, man. Well, this was another beautiful episode of The Cult of Conspiracy, and my name's Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And we always want you to remember one very important, extremely vital piece of information. Open up that third eye.